natural is tragedy. Tragedy is. And then he says, also Nicham Leibor Achiyah. So God dictated that it should be Bechir. That is the tragedy. The tragedy occurs when you realize that there is no more hope and you are resolved to Bechir. Resolved to Bechir. Bechir is the only expression that you can get. But that's what Bechir is. What does Bechir? Bechir means there's no hope. The tragedy. Crying means that it's hopeless, right? So he goes step by step. So he shows step by step how the mind and the emotions work. And the, of course, in the end, in the last part, he brings out an idea, Vayikra Achiyah.
Says, I don't have any
in his Demeris 137.9. Is that on my list, Bobo? You got it to him there. I don't have anything else. Okay. So it means on my list, both of them are over there. Isn't there a story over there that they tortured them? That they died over there? Because they had meat or something, they smelled the meat and they smelled. Isn't there a whole story over there? In the Nevoah, if I'm not mistaken. Doesn't Rashi have written the Nevoah on the earth level? Because it's really referring to the after the Chorban of Bayis, after the Chorban, it has to be, because after the Chorban of Bayis, after the Chorban of Bayis, Bayis Sheni or Bayis Rishon? Bayis Rishon, I don't remember. Right. So the Chorban of Bayis, so the Chorban HaBayis represents, the Naros Bobo represents the end. Now a person psychologically always thinks back to the, naturally thinks back to the beginning, when something falls apart, a person naturally thinks back to the excitement and to the anticipation he had at the beginning of the whatever took place. You understand what I mean? Naturally thinks back. Now, if, of course, the anticipation has with it a tremendous amount of pleasure attached to it, looking forward, you see? So he thinks back to the beginning. So the Chorban is when, if it's something that he liked, if he finds that it was false, so then he doesn't think back to the beginning anymore because it was false. But if it was something good that was taken away, he thinks back naturally to the excitement that he had before he got it, because the excitement emotionally, the excitement a person has before he gets something is the most powerful. Because at that time, it's like a fantasy. He didn't have the reality yet. It didn't wear away. And the same thing is true with he compares a nation. The nation's compared to like a person in that sense. So the nation thinks back to the Kriyas Yamsuf. Because Kriyas Yamsuf represents anticipation. Kriyas Yamsuf leaving Mitzrayim, building towards Mikdash, going towards Mishkan and Mikdash. You see? And now that it's lost, he thinks about the time that he was looking forward to. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? That's when he's up. Pnei Shvash Nuf Tzuchan Tzidel, Palki Suf Zochra Ka'ori Yisodel. When the Yisodos were, when the foundation was uprooted, he thought back about the highest pleasure point that existed in his mind. And that was during the anticipation. The anticipation was Kriyas Yamsuf. Why is that so? It's so because what happens is if a thing is really good, if a thing is no good, the person's not going to want to think back to an anticipation. A person's marriage falls apart, and he's not happy with his wife anymore. He really finds he dislikes her, so he divorces her. He's not going to think back to engagement. It's not going to be a very pleasant thing to think back to. He's going to think on the contrary. It's cool. You know? But let's say a person, Chalila, is happily married, loses his wife. So then he'll think back. He'll always think back to times when he was going with her, when he was about to get married. He'll think back to the time when he appreciated her the most. You understand what I mean? The time of the highest appreciation. Now, the time of the highest appreciation is always in the anticipation. Because reality, once you have the reality, it wears off. Now, some things wear off because of psychological factors. Actually always psychological factors. Some things wear off, I mean to say, I don't want to go into the intricacies of why it wears off, but I'm just saying that's the muscle. So you have to understand what a python does is, irrational analysis, but you have to deal in emotional terms because you want to perceive every facet of the tragedy, and you can't perceive the tragedy intellectually. You understand what I mean? You can perceive it intellectually, I don't mean you can't understand it, but you have to put it in human terms. Otherwise, you know what I mean? if there's no tragedy. You understand what I'm saying? Two are associative, but that's not essential. The essential thing is the two bodies of water, of course, are associative. That's the association, person associate. But the contrast is between the loss and the moment of highest appreciation. What it means like this. When the Jews had Mikdash, they didn't appreciate Mikdash. Person by nature, you see, the Jews took it for granted. It's like the Gemara says, and the Rav mentioned many times, when a person's Rebbe dies. A person's Rebbe dies, so then he appreciates how much he could have learned from him. He realized how much more he should have appreciated him. But by nature, you see, during the time when you have some things, you don't appreciate it. So the same thing is true with the Mikdash. That when we had the Mikdash, we didn't appreciate it really. We didn't really recognize it because it became something that's commonplace. You have it and you accept it, and that's it. That's human nature. You understand what I'm saying? So when you want to think back to the point of highest appreciation, where is the point of highest appreciation? In the anticipation. Anticipation. You see? The anticipation carries with it the point of the highest appreciation. So therefore, really, we should have appreciated the Mikdash always, like we did during the anticipation. You see? That's what it means. So when the thing is lost, the person's mind goes back. If he loves that thing, he goes back to the moment of highest appreciation, and that was before he became callous, so to speak, to what he really has. You understand what I'm saying? You follow?
Yeah.
It's full of air or something in the...
salty food.
What?
Salty food.
They burnt food, I think. I don't remember. I think they burnt food and they smelt the food and they got thirsty and they gave them... And that's what it's referring to. I don't know. You got to check that medicine. You got it? You got the medicine?
No.
You
don't
have it.
Right.
You don't have it in the yeshiva.
No.
Like this. Things like this. Pachad fei chilo tochaf dodela. Okay, what does that mean? The fear of the sin of Shiloh, so Dela means the Chachanan. So the Chachanan grabbed on to the Chachanan realized the sin of Shiloh. The fear of the sin of Shiloh took hold of the Chachanan. Okay? Took hold of the Chachanan when by potsu chazire yar aye chachidera. So the chazire yar means the wild boar, right? Referring to the enemy. When the wild boar, that means the enemy, stated where are the righteous ones of this nation, right? Potsu maise ervo lidera. This statement, I don't understand, but they say it means, makes sense what they say, I just don't say you can get it out of those words, but he says it means that when they took the Kruven, and they said that the Jews serve Avodah Zarah, when they uncovered the Kruven in the Midah, and they said that the Jews serve Avodah Zarah, okay? Right?
Yeah.
Then it says, Pesach Zion B'Adam, that's the Pesach in, that's fucking Eicha. Means that they just stretch their hands out. What can we, like the person stretching their hands out, says, what can we do? Okay? So what is he saying here? What are the ideas here? It's a very interesting description of how a person feels in a time of great tragedy. You see? What happens like this? It says that potu chazire yar aye chafidera. It means the enemy, who they call chazir. They said, where are your chafidim? What does that mean? It means to say when the enemy broke through into Yerushalayim and into the Mikdash. So what's the first thing they said? They said, oh, this is supposed to be a nation Sinai, they all recognized, as much as they couldn't remove themselves from their idolatrous practices, they still recognized the certain greatness of Klal Yisrael, that they don't serve a lot of God. It's an amazing thing. It's like an ambivalence. There's a certain ambivalence there. The old Avodah Zarah, as much as they believed in the Avodah Zarah, as much as they were tied to it, they knew that it's nonsensical. I have another right. Why? Because it says by Torah Duma that the Umos Ha'olam criticized the Jews by Torah Duma. And they said, what kind of ceremonies are these? But they have the craziest ceremony. So what are they criticizing the Jews for? But the answer is, when it comes to somebody else, they can see the criticism very, very clearly. They know that it's nonsensical. Basically, they knew. Basically, there was a part of them that realized that it's nonsensical, that the Jews are different because they don't serve the Avodah Zarah, and that the Jews are proud of the fact that they don't serve the Avodah Zarah. But then when they came into the Mikdash, they condemned them with saying that they serve the Avodah Zarah too, by the Kruvim, you see. So what does this have to do with it? Well, it means like this. Means that it's bad enough if somebody condemns you. See, sometimes it's bad enough if somebody condemns you, but they're condemning you with nonsensical statements. So why do you care what they say? You know what I mean? It doesn't bother you. If somebody comes over and says to you, you're an Avodah Zarah, you laugh more. All right, if they have power over you, it's a little harder to laugh more because they have physical control over you, but the fact remains that you know it's not true. But over here is what he brings in. That's what Rabbi Kalir brings in. When he says, Tachat Chet Shilo, Tochaf Sodela. It means that sometimes a person condemns you, and his condemnation is false because he doesn't understand you, but it strikes a fear in your heart because you know that there's something else that's true within the framework of what he's saying. Not exactly what he's saying, but he's really right in a way that he doesn't understand. You see? That's what this Pachat Chet Shilo Tachfus Odel. It means when they heard those accusations, the Chazireya, why do you call them Chazireya? Chazireya because it means they're primitive, like wild boars, animals. Primitive. So they made a primitive attack. You see, Tachfu Chazireya, where are your Chassidim? This place is supposed to have been Chazikim. You don't have any Chazikim here. But the truth of the matter is that we did have Chazikim compared to these Behemoths. But the truth is also that we were suffering from the chait of Shiloh, and because the chait of the Migdash, the chait really was what caused the destruction. So actually when they said Ayecha Fidera, they were talking in a primitive framework, but it wrung the Sodera, the Chachamim, it struck a core of fear in them because they knew that they were right, that really it was because of the chait. The chait of Shiloh is referring to the Bnei Eli. I assume the reason why he says that is because the Bnei Eli were the ones that used the Mikdash for their own purpose. They used the Mikdash, and part of the fate of Mikdash was that the Mikdash became, the Rav one time said that it says that God shechach hamasal leitzim v'lavonim. So why did God destroy the Mikdash? Because the Mikdash became a source of political power, and it was an evil source. Source of evil, power for evil. So that's why God destroyed the whole thing. That was the end of it. So that's what saved Klal Yisrael was, the destruction of the Mikdash. But it means to say that the Mikdash, the Bnei Eli, used the Mikdash for their own purposes, for their own covenant, for their own purposes. That was the chait of the Bnei Eli. So it says that when the barbarians made this statement, these primitive people made the statement, Ayecha Fidera, which if a person embarrasses you and has control over you and makes a statement which is not true, that's not so bad already. But when you know that what he's saying isn't true, but I can't defend myself because the fact is that what he's saying does contain truth. I really was. We really don't have any chassidim. But because we really lost to the chait of Shiloh. We gave way to the chait. That is a horrible predicament for a person to be in. It would be like a tremendous surgeon made a small error, and somebody comes and says, you stupid, blundering idiot, how the heck did you do something like this? Guy can't answer. Even the abuse He has to tolerate even the most primitive abuse, because what's he going to say? I'm really not a super blundering idiot, but I made a mistake in a small little thing. But you made a mistake, so you can't defend yourself, you see? It means to say what he's trying to describe is a situation where you have to suffer abuse, and you're unable to defend yourself. Even personally, you can't defend yourself. Not so much what you say to the other person. It's how you feel towards yourself. To yourself, you can't defend. There's no defense. What are you going to say? I'm not a stupid idiot as they think. I'm less stupid. I made a faith at a more sophisticated level. You can't say. There's no answer. There's no answer. So you can't deny the what do you call it? What's the word of the? Now you can't deny the abuse, the invective. You can't deny the invective of the. That's that word. Of the. What's the word for? to take Mark Solomon. What was Mark Solomon's question? The question we started with, remember?
Yeah, how's it possible to have, you have to know that it's totally hopeless?
No. One's question was that it says that they were shocked because God broke his relationship with Migdash. So his question was, what kind of relationship is it without B'nai Yisrael?
Make You understand? Okay? That's the whole thing. It was the chapter this day in the farmer should be right to the funeral of a chain between. It means in terms of your framework. In terms of God's framework that he should, that it should reach such a level that the bris day of Sodom should be completely forgotten. You understand what I mean? You understand? In other words, it's not in terms of, it's not in terms of our faith. That we understand. But how is it possible on an objective plane that the bris day of Sodom should fall apart? You see? But then we say, Zechor Hashem Mahoyolon. Zechor Hashem Mahoyolon. The Hashem and the Hayolun really is the only hope. The only hope is, what we're saying is, we can't live this way. We can't live this way. We can't live without the Kiyum of Bris Ben Hatzorah. That's it. We're gone. If we don't have Bris Ben Hatzorah, we can't exist. The Hashem and the Hayolun means that the only hope is that this state will be removed. That's really the Kiyum of Kinas and Eicha. Because if a person reads Eicha and he thinks it's a terrible thing, you know, the best thing is to destroy, but look, everything's fine, more or less, we're learning, we're this, we have this, or that. That's then he doesn't perceive it, then he's not maintained as a tragedy. There's no tragedy as far as he's concerned. It's a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. But things are still, we can exist this way too. We can exist this way too. The concept of the kinos is that we can't exist this way. That everything is removed right now. You see? But the only hope is that the only hope is that it's going to be changed. The only hope is a hope for change, a complete change. That's the only way we can exist. We only exist with that hope. You see? That's why it says, "As a nacht the feder achinu v'nachkar v'nashu al Hashem." Right? And you have that in the Eicha.
There is some kind of accommodation.
That's what I heard mentioned before. That the
That's why that fits with the idea of the day that we do all year long in every one of these situations.
That's what we mentioned before. Were you here before?
Okay, it's a terrible tragedy, but we're coping with it. But the idea that you have all year long in every kind of situation, that shows the extent that there's no way to accommodate.
Right. So, we mentioned that before, we elaborated on that before. The fact that the halacha, permeates every aspect, the chodin permeates every aspect of a person's life, really. Every aspect of his life. And especially, like in the area of chasna, his greatest joy. See? It means it's intolerable. The situation is intolerable now. If you don't feel it's intolerable, then you don't perceive what the Chovin HaBayis is. And the reason why people don't perceive what the Chovin HaBayis is, because they lack really in the true concept of Avas Hashem and Avas Klal Yisrael. That's why they don't. It takes a high level to perceive that. Not just anybody, personal individual. Think, look, I'm doing okay here. It's not bad. He has a little business, he's happy, he's making money, he's living, he's happy, he's healthy, fine, everything's fine. That's a person that's in a very small sphere. But a person, in order to perceive Chorban HaBayis, has to be in a very high plane. That's what the Gemara says in Bava Kamma. The guy was wearing black shoes. So they asked him, what are you wearing black shoes for? He says, because I'm being dog in the Chorban. They said, who are you to be dog in the Chorban? Because it requires a certain level. Not everybody can perceive it. But nevertheless, even though everybody can't perceive it, but the Navi perceives it, and the Navi has to spell out the thing like Yadis always does, the way it is, actually, and doesn't spare anything, it doesn't compromise, and those who can partake of it, as far as they can partake of it, they partake of it, and those who can really perceive it can really perceive it. But that's definitely the concept, that's definitely the idea. The person doesn't perceive it, it's a chasaron in himself. It's a weakness in his own nature and his own level. So that's the concept. All right, I would go further, but the only thing is the next one I didn't work out. Have to do some research on it. I didn't really get a chance to work it out. But Nach besod rachenu v'nach korban shvul Hashem. Nisul v'aveinu al kapoyim. Al kel b'shamayim. Nach b'fashanu marinu. Atol osuach. Yes, that's what it means, exactly. It means to say that that's the only hope.
That's not a changing situation.
The situation we brought about, we know. Yeah, there's one thing, there's one thing I wanted to say. That what is it? I lost my trend of thought. By the second one by Nafla, Odeinu B'tzul D'chuya, right? The second one that we did. The second one, Nafla Odeinu B'tzul D'chuya, right?
Yeah.
It says, also v'nicham v'yikra la b'chiyah. That's what I wanted to say. It says that God called to b'chiyah, which means was v'nom alel ani v'chiyah, that our kiyam of b'chi is really what sustains us. Without b'chiyah, there's nothing. So b'chiyah really is essential. If we don't have b'chiyah, then we're lost. So it means to say, what does it show you over there? It shows you that the Hashgachas Hashem directs us. That's what it means. He really was supposed to destroy us. Okay? But he didn't destroy us. He destroyed the Mikdash, and he relegated us to Bechi. Right? He relegated us to Bechi. Now it shows you that the nature of the Hashgacha is such that the Hashgacha directs Klal Yisrael to Bechia and to eventually Tshuva. You see? And what it means is that God's Hashgacha works in such a way that the, my for instance, right, like it mentions over there that we were in the Navi mentions. See, we spoke before about the Navi says that in Yirmiyo it says over there. That Yirmiyo mentions that God says like this, the psukim in Yirmiyo, the last psukim. It says, "Vayom Hashem, vayechol shis libam nedes lachen. Kol ma Hashem tzvakos al kei Yisrael. Hinni machilo mesahom azel lana vishkisim meirosh. Vachitzosim bagoyim asher lo yodu himo Rabna Einenu Dimov, Ava Peinu Yizlo Moyer, Ki Hakol Nehi Nishma Mitzion, Eich Shudadnu, Boshnu Ma'ot Ki Azadnu Eret, Ki Shlichu Mishkinoseinu. You see, I mean, from all this took a moment, just before it becomes clear that there is total destruction. But aside from that, what it's telling you is that the Hashgachas Hashem is directly involved. Vafitosim Bagoyim Asher Yodahim Vavosam Shlach Tachreim Hachreim Esacherev is what it means is that Hashgachas Hashem is directed towards one thing. That it's directed towards one thing. It's directed towards causing Klal Yisrael to eventually to recognize and to eventually return through tshuva to have the so that the state of Mikdash can be brought back. That's the way Hashgachas Hashem works. That's what it means that God dictated that Bechi. Vayikol HaBechi. Because the Bechi is something which leads us to tshuva, and that's how we come to a restoration of the Mikdash. You understand me? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, also in the Kriyas Torah, Vigash HaMisham Et HaShem HaOtechem.
Yeah, that's right. And the Kriyas Torah too. But you want to say you'll be
so low that
more in Gittin? Yes, first thing about Gittin, right? So if we do that, we have to get the Gemara, do the Gemara first. Okay?
Okay.
That's at Gittin, yeah, it's over here. It's,
Nun Zayin on the base.
All right, let me get the Gemara, hold on. Hurry up on the side, sir.
Is this the Kamsa?
No, it's okay.
This is a different story.
This is a different story. Pulling out the, but the blood kept boiling, right? Is that the story?
Yeah.
No, it's on the top, on the base. Oh, here it is, on top, right on top on the base. Amar Akhriya Barazin, Amar Bishur Ben Kafa. Right?
Yep. Getting them Zion on the base.
So it's Sachli Zakin Echad, Me'anche Yerushalayim. They told him that what? He says that the Bikazu Hod Uzad on Rav HaTabochim Masayim Va'achas Asura Liba. Boy. 201, 10,000. Right? 2 million. Was it 2 million, right?
Yeah.
Right, over 10 million. Will be Yerushalayim Horah Tishim V'Arba Ribo. Ache Horah Damon V'Noga V'Domo Shel Zechaya. Till their blood ran and met the blood of Zechaya. B'Kayim Ashenema V'Domen V'Domen Nogo. That's in the beginning of Hosea. Okay, so it's like this. Ashkechei V'Dmei Zechaya. Davakon Mirasach, the servant. He found the blood of Zechaya was bubbling, right, and rising, coming out of the ground. Rashi says, Shel Zechaya ben Yoyada Kohen, Shel Gu Sura Yehuda, the Mitzvah Yoav, Kishnachulo Yoash, Vasalu, Vasa'ua Aloha, Vahar Gu Bazara. So what happened? So when Yoash made himself into a Bodhi Zohar, so they killed Zechaya ben Yoyada, right? That's what he's saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Yoash, in other words, made himself into a Bodhi Zohar, and the first thing he did was to get rid of the Navi. But apparently he felt the Navi wouldn't approve. So they killed Zechaya ben Yoyada, right?
Which Zechaya is this?
Not the Zechaya ben Berechia.
This is not the Zechaya of the Navi, in other words.
Ah, a different Zechaya.
How did you find that? Was it Zechaya? Just can't talk to the Navi.
Okay.
So this is happening sometime before the destruction of the first Megiddo.
Right. You know, Vuzaradon was before.
Yeah.
Was before. The Vuzaradon Rav HaTabochim. Okay? That was with, I think, Rav Shoke. Wasn't Rav Shoke with him? Rav Shoke. Anyway. So it's like this. Ashkechei, right. So he says, found Amar. So he said, my high. He says, what is this blood? Amrulei. So they said to him, Dam Zevochen de Ishtapoch. It's the blood of the Kabbonah. It's the blood of Kabbonah. I see Domi Veloidni. So he brought blood of animals and it didn't compare. Amar Lahu. So they said to him, Iyam Rituli Mutas. If you're going to tell me what this blood is, then good. V'ilav, and if not, masrikna levesareichu b'misriki defazuli. So I'll comb your flesh with combs of iron. Amalei, my name Allah. So they said to him, what can we say to you? Yithiyo havabon. There was a navi that we had, davakamuchachon b'mili deshmaya. That he used to reprove us in with regard to so we rose up and we killed him. And now it's many years his blood didn't rest. Amalahu, so he said to them, having children long off, and it didn't stop. Father Churim Ubasulos Kot Alleluia Valonov. He killed them also, and it didn't stop. Aishi Tinoka Shabes Rabban Kot Alleluia Valonov. Amalei. So he says, Zachaya Zachaya. Told him she had the Hammy Bodhisattva. I destroyed the best of them. Nicholas Das Dinu Lukulu. Want me to destroy all of them? Kito Amalei Hachi. No. So he said that to him, so it stopped. At moment he was Mahara Bachuva. And it was Zarada. Omar, he said, Uma Emal Nefeshachas Kah. Ahu Gavra, if because of one Nefesh, in other words, when they killed the Navi, this is what happened. Ahu Gavra the Kotl Kohani Nishmasa. Allahas Kamalachama. This guy, meaning himself, that killed all these people, how much more is Chayav Misa? Orak, Ozal, Shodar, Shtar, Partasa, Bevese, Vagaya. Vagaya. So what did he do?
Rak says it was a Tzavah. What to do with his money?
Left the Tzavah, what to do with his money, and he was Megaya himself. And he was Megaya himself. So that was Nevada, that was who? That was Nevada, right? That was Nevada, right?
Yeah.
Tana. Namo get Tosha for you. Nevada get Tzedekah for you. Livnei Bonov shall retit. That's it. Okay.
What was this thing?
What was they killed the Chaya, that they were Chaya so much Misa.
Uh-huh. Oh, certainly me who's killed all these millions of people.
Certainly. I'm a Shammai Chaya. Funny story, isn't it?
Yeah.
What does it mean? What it means is like this, that, see, what is it? It's an interesting thing. Well, what happened to this guy? What kind of a Meshuggah was he? I mean, it's a funny guy, isn't he? The whole story is funny. So, apparently it's like this. Apparently see, what caused him to change? What's the whole story? And you have to understand what's happening here. What motivated him to do this all together? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What motivated him to do this all together? Just give me a second. I want them out of shot in this chazar. I just for time, I want to. He should have been happy. He should have said, okay, now we appease them. Now we appease the blood. You know what I mean? What did she say logically? He wanted to please the piece of blood, so he did. That was his motivation. Why was he Mahara Bachuva?
Yep.
What happened? It seems that he was really a primitive person.
Again, I'm sorry?
He was really a primitive person. He was his blood boiling, so he took it as a... He took it as something that he has to do. It appealed to his avodah zarah emotions. You know what I mean? Like to appease the blood, to appease the dam. Appeasing the dam is what the other avodah zarah. That's the idea. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So therefore, when he saw that, when he saw the blood boiling, he saw that phenomena. So it appealed to his avodah zarah emotions. So he said, I want to know what this is from. So they told him that this Navi was killed. So then he said, so he took it that he had to do something to stop that down. But in a very primitive way. So in the primitive avodah zarah, the way that you appease the gods was sacrifice, human sacrifice. So that's why he started to kill people. You see? He started to kill people. But he really didn't want, apparently he really didn't want to kill the people. It wasn't an excuse. He really didn't want to kill the people. But he had to do it because his primitive emotions were, demanded that he do something to stop this blood. You follow? It's a long time ago. These are different people. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's the avodah zarah has the idea of appeasing. They don't care. They sacrifice their kids, they sacrifice people, Methamphetamine?
Yeah. I mean,
then why he took it upon himself?
Yeah, in other words, usually you want to...
In other words, then the gods are angry. They're angry. You have to do something.
Okay.
You bother them killing. You don't want to kill the people. Because that's why he said to them, you want me to kill them all out? When is this going to stop?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And now it stops.
What?
And then it stops. When he said that. Yeah, what's going on there?
What?
And why all of a sudden it stopped then?
Then it stopped. Now, so why was he Mahara Bechuva? That's the question. Because on the contrary, when it stopped, so then it should have been in line with his crazy idea.
Realized that it wasn't the... What?
The word. If for one soul, so many people have to be killed, so apparently it did work. Supposed to do that in order to appease?
No, maybe not. Maybe he killed all the people and it didn't work. And then when he said this thing, it worked. So maybe he was saying that, no, I shouldn't have killed all these people.
What should he have done?
Well, what did he do? I don't know. He said the statement that, you know, what do I have to do to stop it?
John, this? Haven't got on my show.
Okay. Well,
who killed that many people?
What?
Would seem it's humanly impossible to do that. It would take years and years.
Yep.
I mean, you see, the Nazis, Yimach Shimon, they killed 6 million, and it took them years and years with the most sophisticated equipment. It'd be hard to believe that he could do it by himself. Yep. Anyway, that's a separate question.
Right.
Says the Pirish Rashi, Shargu Bazara, the Siv the Divrei Hayamim, Vayigmu Evan the Mitzvot Hamelach the Chotze Beis Hashem, the Hiflig Ha'inyin, the Kain Kotzav Harbe Harag Nedika, Ad Sha'ala Dama Nedika Lahara Zara, Va'amar Lakayim Asher Kotzav Damim B'damim Nagu, Nainu Shenagu Damim Harabim Elu B'damo Shal Zecharia. Continue?
Yeah.
V'naka d'damim lashon rabim k'mo shekasav d'mei achecha tzo'akim damo v'dam zariyosiv v'inyin d'hava damo mirsach v'solik v'chulay shekol ma shekisu alav hava madchel mitcha mitoch resicha u'chedemetayim levilti hachsov Ukamashikasav Eret Al Tachsi Domam Vamale Dams Vacham de Ishtafal Kule De Ishtafar Sahikama De Ishtafal Fulonasa Mitzvasa Ulacha Chava Mirsa Vamar Aisi Sanhedri Vahule Bahur Msula Katal Vahule De Siv Im Yahare Vamiga Shashem Koin Vinavi Taina Zacharia Uksiv Basre Shikhvula Aret The Sulotai Ubahurai Naflu Bakharam Mahulai Harakta Vigomer Kavakta Vigomer Asher Tafakti Vibesi Vigomer Kafalamigo Baza Al Elu Hakitos Shazaka Shahargan the Vuzajvan.
You see that he changed his whole philosophy there.
Yeah.
That instead of saying that he's appeasing the gods, he had a different idea. What's a different idea? That it's not appeasing by human sacrifice. It's not an appeasement by you. It's not appeasement.
Yeah. It's interesting, you know, the next...
The Jews and something like that, huh?
Yeah.
Explain it, does he?
No. In fact, he doesn't even go there.
Let's go through the piece, then we'll see. Maybe there's some light shit on it. Okay? No machti yichtanati vayichtu lazonai. Put the dam novi b'chatsam mikdash ar Hashem. Lo chisasu adomo adol cherav monai. Lo shaka adei hukam dam anovi zechayim. And it didn't rest until what? the blood of the Navi of Zechariah. Right?
Yeah.
So it seems an interesting thing. I mean, it's a strange thing. Why? Because how could you say, I mean, this is a primitive idea. What is it? Why should these people be slaughtered because of the Dam of the Navi of Zechariah? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? And then he says, Ayeres and Ashtian Taniyah Taniyah.
Who says?
No, 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 I mean, but Yom Achsi, you know, Tuesday, I made my birth, no, he's the person?
Yeah. Oh, he said the Klai Yisrael person.
The Klai Yisrael talking.
Klai Yisrael talking. Right.
And who is?
That's the prophecy's person.
Right, yeah, who's doing the mourning there?
He's just saying, he's using the prophecy to describe that incident.
Uh-huh.
In other words, that he's using this incident to represent the Churban HaBayis.
I see.
To represent the Churban HaBayis.
I understand.
They're like this, which means to say that the Hashgacha was completely removed. Hashgacha Hashem was completely removed. And therefore, they were all able to be killed. Right? They were all able to be killed. That's what he's saying.
Well, now, according to...
It seems, that's right. It seems that the reason why the Ashkacha was removed was because they because they killed Zechariah. The killing of Zechariah was responsible for the removal of the Ashkacha.
Right.
I always thought I'd bow up the bottom of the box. Listen, don't tape anything until we get some ideas. I always thought I'd several paragraphs. First, he mentions the incident in general. Then he brings in the case that they start to investigate. Then he has, Chosos, Oshakas, Baudo, Kayam, Nigra, Shehu, Shavri, Matar, Farsh, Kidam, Mishal, Atim, Alokhama, Shoresh. Aloha Masyosh, what does that mean? Gam Damo Hine Nidrash. This will be a Kohana Vasiyu Roti and Beis Kor, Kilo Eshkar Ara Yishka Dama Nav Yishchaya. Okay? Then again, you have to refrain. Then, that was when he made the decision what to do. Right? Then, he tells you what he did. And then he has another refrain. Then he says, that goes on this, right? Is that right?
What?
didn't stop then. It only stopped when he said he's going to destroy all of Israel.
still see that there's something missing.
Why is something missing? As is the idea that Klal Yisrael has a special relationship with God, that even though God allows them to be destroyed, but he will never allow them to be completely destroyed. Allows destruction to take place, but he will not allow them to be totally destroyed. Then he saw as a special Ashgacha. So that endured, then he saw that the whole philosophy of Klal Yisrael must be correct. So therefore, he changed his mind from his primitive notions, abandoned his Avodah Zarah, and he abided by the ethics of Klal Yisrael. Apparently, yes. Apparently. See, he was getting frustrated. He said, am I going to kill them all out? But then he recognized that God will not allow that. God will not allow total clear. Here is any sort that there's a special God. And because of that, he's apparently the Jura. Autonomy removes that convince them. See that? We can become ready Zionists. Sheba Malchus. That's right. We don't have Sheba Malchus yet. Sheba Malchus means that we're totally that's right about that. But one aspect is gone. It's an interesting thing. From this piece, you have you can make that deduction. Interesting thing.
Was that the thing, the tragedy by Gaddafi?
Peter, huh?
Yeah. Now, how would you compare him to Khalir?
Khalir? I don't know, you mean the type of theater you mean?
Right, seems different.
It's a different kind of a theater, yeah. Right. It's a different kind, at least, yeah. It's a different kind of a thing. Because basically what he's doing is he's taking one aspect. It's like the Rambam says in the beginning of the Mora. He says sometimes you have one pasuk could mean many different things. Sometimes you have many psukim that mean one thing. And basically his whole piyut is really one theme. It's one theme. But Khalir is different. Khalir is taking every aspect of what it means.